If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, George Allman. Mark Mahady has taken some time off. We're going to be here with you for the next hour talking about all kinds of stuff going on in your yard and garden. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good, actually. Thank you.
Did you see a moon this morning, David?
I did not see a moon this morning.
But it was gorgeous.
Told it was an orange moon out.
Last night was gorgeous. Spectacular.
I saw it when I got home, but I didn't see it when I left.
I didn't see it this morning either, but it was beautiful last night.
This morning.
I saw beautiful stars in a crystal clear sky.
It was 50
it was
degrees.
Very clear.
It was 50
brisk,
degrees.
Yep. Crystal clear sky.
It was nice.
We were driving up from Bankers Hill.
And?
Last night. And it was about 73 degrees. There you go.
Oh.
I would have thought after all these years you would have learned how the microphone worked.
I thought it was.
Sounds like you're in a cave too.
Multi-directional. Well, I've been told I was raised in a cave with wolves.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, more than one time.
But anyway, like 8:45 last night in Bankers Hill, it was 73 degrees still. It was beautiful.
It was a beautiful evening.
Yeah. Went out to dinner last night there with some friends. Very cool little place on 4th Avenue called Whetstone. If you're down in that area, I would highly recommend stopping in and checking that out. Let's see. I was telling George, we parked on 3rd Avenue. We got out of the car, and this is going to come up later in conversation in the show. We got out of the car, and I was like, oh, man. Somebody had just very recently mulched their property with the landfill mulch.
Oh, that's very distinctive.
It has, you know what it is.
It's a horrible smell.
Well, horrible, I don't know if it's horrible.
It brings back lovely memories.
Of what?
Of going to the dump.
Taking empty trash cans with my kids to the Miramar landfill, not dump, and filling it up with mulch to bring home and put down. And they had their little shovels, and we had a grand old time.
Well, good. That's not the memory that I have.
I actually, very similarly, have the same, not with your kids, but the same memories of going there and gathering up either mulch or dropping off a lot of wood debris that would be turned into mulch.
My daughter told me sometime earlier this year that she was remembering us going to the landfill. She may have used that improper term. Because there was a smell at her office or in North Carolina that reminded her of that lovely fragrance.
It's distinct, and it does bring back memories. Whenever I'm in that area near the base at Miramar or something and I smell it, it brings back fond memories.
Yeah. Unfortunately, on the mornings when we leave the radio station, there's a different smell wafting across the
Miramar Road. Yes. That is a little different.
It is a little different.
I don't think I've noticed that.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I usually have my windows rolled up. So.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I thought I was behind a stinky trash truck.
Oh, you're going by the wastewater recycling
plant? Yes. Water reclamation. Right.
Wafts northward.
The water reclamation plant.
That's yes. Great. Yeah. The ultimate destination. But interesting. We have gotten a little bit of far from your dinner plans to the mulch and into the.
Well, I just mentioned that we went to Whetstone on 4th Avenue. It was great, and then that we parked, and we're going to be talking about.
Oh, he was trying. He was trying to bring it to Garden Talk.
Okay,
and it was mulch.
Yes, but we didn't do the weather yet. We did the moon, but it's going to be hot today. It is brisk out this morning. It's going to be very hot and dry today. My hands are becoming chapped.
But so you have the really soft hands. That's right. I remember this.
Sometimes. I've been doing work with them this week. Got three gophers, but it's going to be cooler the next couple of days.
You said the temperatures are going to plummet tomorrow.
They're going to plummet, which makes me think we're going to need jackets and things, but it's supposed to be in the mid to upper 80s today, low 90s.
Yeah, so it's going to drop to the high 60s, low 70s tomorrow.
Probably 70s.
Which is cold if you've been used to the warmer weather.
Well, especially when you get older.
Right. Yes.
I was looking at the weather back, and we're going back to Durham next week, and I was looking at, because I went out and bought a new winter jacket because I didn't have a winter jacket, and I was looking at the weather, and it's like, I'm not going to need that. It's going to be in the 70s in the daytime and the 40s at night, so.
I would need a jacket in the 40s.
Well, I'll need a jacket in the 40s, but right. I don't need this heavy winter jacket that's going to take up as much room as a single carry-on bag.
Right.
So.
I'm surprised you don't have a jacket.
I do have a jacket. I don't have a winter jacket. I don't have a cold.
You mean a cold,
I don't
cold
have
jacket.
A, I don't have a cold weather jacket. Because I don't go to cold weather.
I got
usually,
you.
So.
Apparently you do.
Well, well, I go to areas where there can be cold weather, but it's not going to be cold when I'm there.
Mr. Anderson. Calm down. You're getting a little.
I'm fine. Come on now.
But now, with the weather change, are we expecting any moisture?
Perhaps.
Okay. Later in the week.
Well, actually, Monday, they're talking about some drizzle. Bum, bum, bum. So maybe some drizzle on Monday, but they're looking at the long range, and we all know how good the forecasters are on the long range forecast in Southern California. But maybe the end of the weekend, next weekend, there's a 35% chance of precipitation on the long range forecast. I'm very excited about it.
Well, the only thing that benefits when we get drizzle in San Diego is the auto body companies. Because it really doesn't do much as far as landscape is concerned, but
it keeps
the auto body companies busy.
It can dust get the dust off their leaves.
Yeah, so. that can help.
But you know what, I last night when I got home, I turned on my sprinklers for my avocado tree because it's been dry and warm this week, and so I couldn't remember if I watered last Sunday or not because it's been cool and relatively.
That reminds
cool.
me, I got to check my avocado trees when I get home today.
Yeah,
so
we turned everything back on after that little rain we had to make sure that everything was wet before this little Santa Ana came blowing.
I turned all my stuff back on.
I did successfully remove 3 gophers from the property this week. Yes.
And what device did you use?
A black hole and a black box.
I like
the half
black
shell and
too.
The tube.
I've been using the Gopher Hawk and have gotten 2 in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, you've had very good success with the Gopher Hawk.
I have. But like any other device, you have to get it in the right spot. If you're not in an active tunnel or you think you are, it's useless.
I was pretty excited. I figured it all out. I now know how to get gophers every time I set the trap.
Well, not every time, because you said it last night and didn't get
it. Well, hang
so.
On. I'm getting to that. I'm going to do this story sequentially. And I was setting the traps in the evening. And I normally would set a trap in the morning. And the three out of three, I got gophers this week setting the traps in the evening. By the time I got up, I had gophers.
Now, what do you think that is? Because you're using the black hole and the...
I'm figuring they're doing more cruising around at night. I don't know.
Because there's less light in the dark tunnel.
Now, hang on. Well, yes, maybe they don't see the trap as well as they would. I don't know.
Well, see, that's why I was wondering. If you put the trap down at night, what attracts them to the trap is the hole that's in the end of it, is the light that goes into the tunnel. So if you put the trap down at night, they don't realize it. And then when the daytime rolls around, there's light shining through the tunnel, then they go up and...
Well, I also put extra dirt over the trap and around the holes in the trap so they don't see any light in it, so they just think it's the tunnel. So last night, feeling a little cocky, so to speak, I set 2 more traps, and I got a total of 0 gophers. So it's ruined my perfect
Your
week.
Batting averages.
Yes,
yeah.
Yeah.
What I like about the Gopher Hawk is being able to just glance out across the property and seeing if you've gotten anything or not, because the spring pops up and there's a different color that's
I'm a
visible.
Little less
what's
got to
be really exciting is when you look out and you actually see the spring pop up out of the ground.
And I haven't seen that, but to your point about doing it only at night, I do it in the daytime, and I've caught them in the daytime, so because it, at least where I live they work
so you're
in
ruining,
the day
well they're more yeah they're underground
so they really can't tell that, you know, so they it's dark, just saying.
I had it all figured out and you've ruined it for
I'm
me.
Sorry
but
here,
I did
I'm
do
here
one
for you.
Other thing, I put 2 traps in instead of just one. I put one on each side, which is the recommended way.
Right.
But I've always said, well, you just put one in, and if it backfills the other hole, well, you know which side
it's on.
Turn
it around, right.
And so on these last 2, I did only 1. So maybe I need to go back to, I got to dance with the one who brung you or something
plan,
like that.
Plan A.
Well, yeah, I have to do it the what we call the right way, and it might work.
We had one of our suppliers bring in a box of new and improved rodent traps.
Yes.
For us to test out. So I took some home, and we caught a bird with one, which didn't expect to happen. Caught a lizard with one, both of which, well, the lizard survived. I know that. But the design of the trap, it looks good on paper, but the problem is that the trigger where the bait pocket is vertical on some of them. So they go into this little tunnel. The trap comes out, slides out of a plastic tunnel. You set it, you bait it and set it and slide it back into the tunnel again. Well, the problem is that the rodents will go into the tunnel and so there's like a vertical wall with bait on it, and they'll sit there and eat the bait. Well, they don't ever put enough weight on the plate because they're just licking the bait to trigger it. The catch is too strong. So they don't work well.
That's the one that scared the bejeebers.
Well, when I stuck the pen in it and the pen exploded, that scared us all.
It has a tremendous spring mechanism.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was leery of setting that one personally.
Yeah. So it
although I do have a couple of them set, but I've not caught anything in those
I haven't caught anything in the covered ones. It's the open one I did catch something with. And that's a pretty good trap, but you don't want to leave it out in the open where birds can see it.
Well, I've had very good luck with those traps, but I put them out in the evening and pick them up in the morning because of the bird potential bird situation.
The one that I've had the most luck with as far as mechanical traps is concerned, and they're by far the easiest to set, is the tomcats.
Those black tomcats.
That's the one.
They're outstanding.
I put them around the chicken coop at night and then pick them up in the morning. I haven't put them out for a while because if you don't remember to pick them up or you sleep in, there can be problems.
I've used the smaller tomcats for the mice, mm-hmm. and I think I've shared before, I've set them around a hole in the garden where the voles are,
mm-hmm.
without any bait. I just set them and I'll wake up and take two or three voles with no problem.
I did lose a tomcat trap this month.
I lost one a couple of years ago. I heard it snap, and then I went out to check in the morning, and there was nothing left. So I don't know. I don't know what happened.
A predator came by and cleared the table for you.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. So, and then I got a text message from my neighbor across the street. She said, "Are you home?" And I said, "Yeah. What's going on?" She goes, "I caught a rat in the garage, and I need you to come take care of it for me." So I had to go over and dispatch the trap and the rat that she had. It was a pretty good sized one.
That is the benefit of that tomcat trap. The setting mechanism and the handle part is so big, you don't have to.
It's away from the.
Unless.
Yeah.
Careful now.
Yeah.
Let's just.
In most cases, you squeeze
the back of it over a trash receptacle and you just drop the rodent
in. And then you can reset it and forget it. Easily. Just like the Showtime Rotisserie Barbecue. Or not barbecue, Showtime Rotisserie.
It's your story.
Set it and forget it. Sorry.
let's see. We have classes this weekend.
Oh, that's right.
At both stores in San Diego. It's going to be fall color. I believe Josh is going to be teaching that.
Ryan.
That's exactly how I wanted you to say it.
It's Ryan.
Just exactly. Oh, Ryan.
Oh, it is Ryan. It is Ryan. Okay. Yeah, I believe it is Ryan. Mark is not here to confirm that, but that's going to be fall color in San Diego at 9:00.
I would submit to you, had Mark been here, he would not have confirmed it. He said, "I'm pretty sure."
Pretty sure that's who it is.
He would have done it exactly as you did it, and you did it perfectly.
And we have a special class in the Poway store today at 9:30. It's going to be smart pot gardening with Eric Olson from Smart Pots. And for those of you that don't know what Smart Pots are, it's a pot that is made out of a woven felt-like fabric, plastic felt. And they do very, very well. For container gardening, they're fantastic.
We have a peach tree, a dwarf peach tree, in one in the Poway store that we've had for 2 years, 3 years now, and it's thriving.
That's a garden bed.
Yeah, it's a very large one, but still, it's that type of material.
But it's the true dwarf peach that only grows a few inches a year, so it can stay in a container like that.
Right.
Yeah. So that's going to be today at 9:30 in both instances. In San Diego, get there early so you can get a parking space. In Poway, it's probably going to be a pretty popular class, so get there early to get a seat. If you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk on KCBQ and KPRZ. We will be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Because I'm still in love with you, I want to see you dance again. Because I'm still in love with you, on this harvest moon.
You're listening to Garden Talk on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross and George Allman. Mark Mahady has taken some time off.
I'm told it was not a harvest moon, that it's an orange moon that we have right now, just so you know. And
that Neil, is one
Neil
of my
Young well, I didn't saying, see it anyway, so it doesn't
matter. Neil Young was saying harvest moon.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite Neil Young songs. I love that song.
It is a very nice song. So we had mentioned we have garden classes today, fall color with Ryan in San Diego, and smart pot gardening in Poway.
Remember the beets I planted in my smart pot last year?
No.
And I, you know, I oversowed just like I normally do so that I could thin out and have the greens as the season progressed. And then I didn't thin them out, and it was way overcrowded, and they didn't thrive. There is something to be said for overcrowding a pot and them not doing, the beets don't develop quite as fully as they would if they had space.
Well, that would make sense.
And nutrients and water.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, you're just figuring that out.
Well, you are a garden professional.
I'm a slow learner.
We also have classes coming up next weekend, the 23rd. We have a fall. Fall color with Ryan is this week. Fall vegetables with Josh is next week in San Diego. And Brigitte from San Diego Seed Company is going to be talking to us in Poway about fall and keeping your fall and winter gardens thriving. So. You can come in for the smart pot class today
and come back the whole week
and come back next week or stay the whole week and see Brigitte's class on fall and winter gardening.
I wonder if she'll touch on thinning and proper spacing for best production.
She may very well
specifically to highlight your errors.
We also have coming up in November, on November 10th, we have a backyard orchard class with Tom Spellman from Dave Wilson Nursery. That's going to be a special evening class on Wednesday, December 10th at 6 p.m. You do need to RSVP. There is no charge for the class. We just need to know about how many people are coming.
Look at your screen to your left.
Oh, okay.
The backyard orchard class with Tom Spellman is incredibly popular.
Yeah, and it's a very good class.
The last one we had, I think, was in 2016, and it was standing room only. It was packed.
He's a phenomenal speaker.
A dynamic speaker. Yeah, and he knows what he's talking about.
Even if you don't have a lot of space in your yard, you can still grow fruit trees, and he will be able to explain to you how to do it.
You know what my nugget was from that presentation?
Mulch.
No.
Oh.
Well, that was another nugget, but... He was talking about his focus on edibles, my focus on edibles, your, George, focus on edibles, Ken, your partial focus on edibles. But he at the end, he said, make your yard what you want to be in, make it a destination for yourself, whether it's vegetables or whether it's landscape, whether it's edibles and using the fruit trees that he so dearly loves. But make your yard a place you want to be, which, yeah. I mean, it just it's obvious, but sometimes a board helps to.
My takeaway from that class was the idea of planting different fruit trees that come to fruition at a different time, so that instead of having, you know, four plum trees that give you all these plums at once because you happen to like Santa Rosa or something, is to put four different plum trees in that, and so you have succession and you can have plums over a much longer season. And then when you put your other trees in, say a peach or a nectarine, that you space those on the other side or each side of that, so you can continue that harvest.
So you have it year round.
Yeah. So that the chart that is on the Dave Wilson website that shows when each variety comes to fruition is useful when you're planning your backyard orchard.
I agree with that.
So if you have an interest in that and want to see what's going on, give us a call, RSVP, and then show up for that class on November 10th. We're going to go to the phones. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to go talk to Mark. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good morning, sir. How are you guys doing?
Good. What can we do for you?
All right. Kind of an interesting story. My daughter and her husband moved in with us, and she was pregnant. I have a beautiful granddaughter.
Congratulations.
She got into nesting urges, you know, a couple months before giving birth, and she made a above-ground garden. It's about 3 feet tall, you know, surrounded by cedar. And I think they put like 12 bags of dirt in that thing. But they planted pumpkins. And but it was like in August when they planted them. And so I'm wondering, do you think these things will actually produce? They have huge, beautiful vines and big leaves. But I'm just wondering, because of how late she planted, if, you know, this is going to actually do something.
I guess it kind of depends on the weather, but it is late.
And it would also depend on the variety, because there are some smaller pumpkins that are shorter season, but probably not. August is late.
It's getting late now. If you do not see pumpkins on right there now, then it's probably too late, even if you do have the small ones, because the nights
are
getting
at this
cold.
Time, yeah.
And things are going to slow way, way down. So
okay, I was just curious, and also I haven't seen too many bees in our neighborhood, and you know, was wondering if they would even be able to pollinate.
You can play bee if you don't see any out there on the flowers when they open. You can use a little paintbrush or something and go from flower to flower and play the little pollinator.
Oh, okay.
But like David said, you know, the nights are cooler, the days are shorter, so. As I started with, if it's one of the smaller varieties, if you don't have pumpkins on there now, you probably won't have any for, certainly not for Halloween.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I appreciate it. Just having fun listening to you guys. Keep it up.
Thank you very much, Mark. Have a great weekend.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thanks. Take care.
This is where you change the goal from getting pumpkins to just testing out your new raised planter and seeing
sounds like
how
they're
well
working good.
Right. Grew. Yep.
Just a timing issue.
And I would consider switching over to, you know, properly thinned out and spaced beets, carrots, lettuce.
Well, you know,
things
it's
like that.
That's a good segue. I mean, there's an opportunity for her to come to see Brigitte next week and talk about winter gardening, fall and winter gardening.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that she's concerned about it. He seemed concerned about it. She's just having fun growing her plants. That's the way I've
That's what you take. That's your takeaway?
That's my takeaway.
All right.
Yes.
If you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. We were talking about the change that's coming in the weather. I happened to glance upon an article before I came in this morning saying that it looks like there's an El Niña.
La Niña.
That whole
subject verb agreement, whatever it is in there.
I'm not going to go there.
That's what I'm here for.
Is forming, which typically means under normal circumstances and those conditions, Southern California is going to be warmer and drier this winter. But Northern California and the Pacific Northwest should be expecting a wetter winter than normal.
Which is what we need,
From what I've heard about the drought situation in California, which typically the whole state is in drought, but the north is really bad. We're not as bad down here. But the north could really benefit from that extra moisture up in the north. So hopefully that will happen. And also it's apparently good news for most of the northern states as you get towards the east too. It's a milder winter. So we'll see what happens.
So you won't need that jacket.
I'm certainly not going to need it in anyway. October, but we'll see what happens if I go back there in January.
There is a link on the National Weather Service website to the climate forecast and shows the blocking domes of high pressure that have kept the Pacific Northwest dry this last year and what caused the drought up in the Christmas tree growing areas and some issues up there with the Christmas trees for this year.
Well, that's something we might want to mention too for people to look out for as we head into the Christmas season starting in late November. We've gotten warnings from our grower. We only buy from one. Typically, only buy from one Christmas tree grower up in Washington State, and they had enough heat and drought up there this summer that it actually caused some damage to some of the crops.
Yes, they were offering a flocking Christmas tree, ones that were healthy but had been sunburned. So if you're going to flock them, it's okay.
A pre-dead Christmas tree.
No, that's not what I said. But it had some brown needles on them that are still attached. There was some scorching on them, not dead needles, but scorched needles. So if you're going to flock the Christmas tree, it'll still be alive and well.
Well, you know, since you do all that ordering on those items, you know, in addition to what Ken just mentioned about the lack of water and the, you know, burnt trees or damaged trees, are there supply chain issues with that you're aware of as far as transportation?
That is what I have heard, that there are. Oh, I haven't heard about the transportation other than they raised the prices a couple of times because of earlier we had been told that the anticipated freight would be covered, and then now it's not quite as anticipated.
It's not quite as covered as they thought it was going to be.
That it would be. Yeah, it's a serious issue.
Yeah,
getting everything. And I reached out twice in the last 2 weeks to the potato supplier I spoke to. Is it okay to go to that right now with trucking or?
Yeah, that's fine.
And their potato harvest was wonderful up in Montana, and it was too cold to ship this week, but they're hoping to ship next week. And I'm waiting for a freight quote because that's all that we're waiting on. Last year, we paid more for the truck to get it down here than the potatoes themselves.
It's kind of like
dirt. This year, it's going to be worse. Yeah. So I'm not sure. I haven't gotten that back. But hopefully next weekend, and if not, definitely the following week, we should have
potatoes.
The seed potatoes, 18 of 18 varieties.
And this is where my being a very lazy gardener has paid off, because my potato bed is just growing like crazy with the potatoes that I missed in the harvest.
Excellent. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross and George Allman. We're going to take a break and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
With more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. Little Herb Alpert.
Who says I don't know how to use a microphone? You guys all heard that. Obviously, I used it correctly.
Yeah, that was hot. That was hot when you did that. So, anyway, if you want to give us
little Herb Alpert, sorry.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you, just like we are going to talk to Gail in El Cajon. Good morning, Gail. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fine. How about you guys?
We're good. What can we do for you?
Yes, I would like to plant some allium bulbs in with my roses. But can they stand the fertilization that the roses need to bloom?
Yeah, yeah, that's not going to be a problem at all. The only what okay. If you're going to plant alliums around roses, I would not plant them real close to the roses so that they are, when they come up, that they're not going to get entangled within the rose bushes. But I don't think that would be a problem at all.
Not at all.
Okay, how far apart from the rose bushes do you think they should be?
Just outside of the branching structure.
The perimeter of the rose.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so if you've got if you've got a rose bush that's about 3 feet in diameter, say about go about maybe a foot and a half or 2 feet away from the main trunk of the rose, and I think you'd be fine.
Okay, and will they do well, the alien bulbs out here in El Cajon, or are they more coastal?
No, they should naturalize out there. Yeah, I don't think that'd be a problem at all. They will benefit from the, you know, typically with roses you want to feed them a relatively high phosphorus. Phosphorus food, yeah. So that's what builds up the bulb for the next season. So I think that would be fine. I don't think you'd have any problem with that at all.
Okay, thank you very much. You've been more than helpful.
Thank you. You have a great weekend, Gail.
You too.
Thank you.
There's a pause there.
I was looking at my notes. Go ahead.
Well, the giant alliums, I did not ask. The regular alliums, yes, should do very well and naturalize. The giant alliums will do well this season, but may not naturalize. But the regular, the more popular...
Well, maybe out in El Cajon it might be cold enough that they'll... Might be. That they will come back.
When she started that, I was just picturing them coming up, as you were alluding to, right in the middle of the roses. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the only thing I would watch out for.
Right.
Got a nice message yesterday from John Clements from the San Diego Botanical Gardens. We talked to him last week, I guess it was. And he sent me some updated pictures of the corpse flower coming up. And it's big. It's going to be big. And he said that, I think he said they actually did an ultrasound on it. I'd have to go and look and see what the actual procedure was, but they did a non-invasive procedure to see what was going on, and he said it is indeed going to bloom. He said you can see the spathe starting to form.
They put
jelly on it
and have a little
video
monitor there. And
I don't know, but it's pretty exciting that it's going to bloom, so it'll be...
That's going to draw some people up there or turn them away.
It's going to make some people sick, yeah.
It's going to draw some flies.
You know, ours is a huge conversation starter. Whenever I'm in the houseplant section in Poway and someone is there and they'll look up and we just start talking about it, and it is a strikingly handsome plant.
Maybe commented on it. He said he came into Poway and saw it and he was impressed with it.
So. Maybe I should start taking it out with me. Carry it around.
like some people take puppies.
Yes.
Wheel it into the bar with you?
Yes.
Let's see. What else we got to talk about?
Oh, my.
The San Diego Botanical Garden, keep your eyes on that.
Yeah, did he update on the bloom time?
No, but I'm sure we'll get some updates.
I guarantee you when it is blooming that his name will come up on that screen and he will let us know.
And then we will let you know. I have no doubt.
Because I am going to have to go see that.
I as well. Me too. Yeah. Also.
Yeah, I definitely want to go see it.
T-O-O?
Yeah, me too also as well.
I hope it blooms in the next, before mid-November.
Yes.
You had a case of...
Mistaken identity
come through the other day.
Well, being the house of Walter Anderson Nursery, I had a customer come in and tell me about the white leaves on her beans. And so I was certain from her description that she had spider mites.
Well, hang on a second. She had to say more than just white leaves, because you know spider mites.
Had a problem. She had something wrong with her leaves, and they were turning white. And beans this time of the year, it would not surprise me at all that they had
turned white,
been infested with spider mites and turned primarily white from the spider mites. And fortunately, so I went to the computer and I brought up pictures of spider mites on beans, And she goes, oh, no, it's not like that. And then she showed me the picture she had in her phone, and it was clearly mildew.
Which is probably better.
Yes, it'd be easier.
I shouldn't say better. It should be not as bad.
It's easier to control.
Easier control, yeah.
Yes, but it's getting late in the bean season anyway.
Right.
So
yeah.
I don't know if it's worth trying to control. But she got some copper, organic copper to spray on. But I was so proud of myself for knowing that it was spider mites. And once again,
you were
down in flames.
There's in my neighborhood, there's two houses that have enormous Erythrina coralloides in their yard.
Yeah, for folks that don't know, what is that?
It's a naked coral tree, which is actually it's a beautiful tree, not very big, somewhat low branching, rounded. They go dormant in the wintertime, and then in the springtime before they flush out with the new foliage, they're just covered in brilliant red flowers. A really, really pretty tree. But the downside to that tree is it is a spider mite magnet. I mean, both of the trees in my neighborhood are, I don't think I've ever seen green foliage on them, because they leaf out and they are just immediately covered with spider mites. And I don't know if there's spider mites that are wintering over on the stems and branches or what, but they, as soon as they leaf out, they're completely covered with spider mites.
You should take your neighbor some horticultural oil.
I was going to say, you should go to Walter Anderson Nursery in Poway, buy that gallon, and bring it over and say, here.
Maybe just leave it on their front porch.
Yes.
With a note. Yeah. Right.
Somebody must take care of this tree.
Next time I'm walking in the neighborhood, I'll grab some foliage off of one and bring it in. We'll get some pictures of it.
Is the naked coral the one that doesn't have as an aggressive a root system?
It's not bad. It's Erythrina caffra is the one that's the one
up at the corner of the
one that's on the corner of Scripps Highway Parkway and Community Road. It's a pretty tree, but it's such high maintenance, and they have horrible surface roots. They're incredibly flimsy as far as a tree is. It's amazing how big they can get, given how little strength the trunk and branches have.
They fall apart pretty quickly and easily and drop branches.
When I lived on Oak Bend in Scripps Ranch, I had a massive one on the front corner on my lot, and half of it broke off into my neighbor's front yard. I couldn't see their house when I got home. It was so big.
That's not always a bad thing.
Well, no, in this case it wasn't.
Yeah.
But I had to go through and cut everything up and haul it away. And I would say the branch that broke off was probably a good 18 inches in diameter.
Do you remember in the parking lot at Lindbergh Field back in the day, they had those in the median inside the parking area at Lindbergh Field?
No.
There was an oval, long oval, and there was a row of coral trees just destroying the sidewalk and the curb and the parking lot below.
No, I don't remember that at all.
I've never cared for them out here. Now, maybe it's because of the spider mites and I wasn't aware, but I just don't like them.
It's definitely not as popular as it's definitely not as popular a tree as it used to be. My favorite coral tree that grows well around here is a Crista galli. It's low growing, has very, very interesting character to the trunk. It actually forms a bark on the trunk, whereas some of the other coral trees
don't. That might
be
the one that we use in the Wednesday Wisdom that Nan Sturman spoke about.
And when the old Caltrans building was still down in Old Town, which that park should be opening any time now, because they put a huge park in where that building used to be. But right on the corner of Wan Street and Taylor, there was a sign that said something about, I think it said something about Old Town. I can't remember what it was. And there was a beautiful Erythrina Crista galli that they had trained to grow up and over the sign. And has these big, long flower spikes with these beautiful coral-colored flowers on it. It's a really pretty plant, but they're hard to find. It's a tough one these days.
Is the other variety of coral tree that was at the corner of Taylor and Linda Vista, it was in the grassy area on the northeast corner of Taylor and Linda Vista.
Doesn't intersect Linda Vista.
Marina?
You just ruined his story.
Marina Boulevard? Marina Boulevard crosses.
That's what
the
I
river.
Mean, in Marina Boulevard.
Okay. Yeah,
yes.
Linda Vista and Marina come together,
is that
and then
still,
Marina crosses.
Is that still?
It was in that triangular
planter
there.
Is it still there? It was an enormous tree.
I think that was coralloides. I don't know. I'd have to drive by there and see. Or ask my dad next time he drives by there.
He'll see.
But it, yeah, that was there was a
that
big one.
Out
was a
in
big
front
one.
Of Caltrans. It was over the sign. I'd forgotten about that.
It was a really yeah. That's gone. That didn't survive into the plan, the master plan of the park. And then as you're coming from Highway 8 down Taylor Street towards Pacific Highway, on the right hand side there's like three massive coral trees in that planter on the right hand side of Taylor Street. I don't know what they are, but they're enormous trees.
Is that where that big Cycas circinalis was that somebody uprooted?
No, that was actually that was down where the new Caltrans buildings are. Just past that, there's like a little, it looks like a little adobe building.
Yes.
That was part of the Caltrans
complex.
And there was a big Cycas circinalis planted in front of that.
What is that tree?
I don't know the common name of it, but it's a beautiful cycad, really pretty cycad.
An old school cycad.
Okay.
And we watched it. That's before Poway opened. I was driving past that constantly. But then overnight, one night, somebody disappeared it.
It disappeared. Never to be seen again.
No. So. Well, it probably was seen somewhere.
Somewhere in somebody's yard.
Yes.
You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Raindrops keep falling on my head, but that doesn't mean my eyes will soon be turning red. Crying's not for me, 'cause I'm never gonna stop the rain by complaining. Cause I'm free.
And we're back. Nothing's worrying me. With more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross and George Allman.
You can call with your gardening questions as long as they are not, what's the common name of Cycas circinalis? That we don't know.
Well, no.
Well, we think we do.
It's according to this, it's Queen Sago. I've never called it that. It's always been Cycas circinalis.
Nor have I.
I don't think I've ever called it a common name. But it's a beautiful cycad. Typically grows tall, has a long frond on it with dark green, non-dangerous leaves on it. Doesn't have any barbs or spines on the foliage. And years ago, Jerry Hunter, who owns Rancho Soledad Wholesale Nursery here in San Diego, he also has a. I think they still have a growing area over in Hilo, in Hawaii. They found a huge one growing on the Big Island. I mean, it was massive, and they bought it from whoever had it. It was so big that it actually had multiple trunks. It had branched, and they bought it and they sent a crew out to dig it up, and they were going to ship it stateside, but they couldn't load it into the shipping container, because they couldn't lay it down and load it into the shipping container. So they took the shipping container and picked it up by the end with a crane and dropped it over.
Like a sleeve?
Like a sleeve over the trunk of the tree. And then they built a framework inside the shipping container to hold everything in place. And then they laid the shipping container down and closed the doors and shipped it over here. I don't think it made it, though, after it got here. I don't think it survived. But
I was hoping for a different story. You would tell us where we could go to visit it.
You know, this was a long, long time ago.
Yes.
That's what I recall.
It's your story.
I'll have to have my dad get in touch with Jerry's daughter and see if she remembers remembers that, because I saw pictures of it when they were it was incredible. I mean, it took up almost an entire shipping container.
That's where how big it ended up.
I think it ended up at their yard here in San Diego. Okay. But I don't know what the final disposition of it was, but it was a spectacular plant. It was a really neat plant. What else we got to talk about? Oh, you know, in California, for years and years and years, the California Association of Nurserymen, which is now, I think it's the California Association of Nurseries and Garden Centers. CANGC. Their big push as we would get into the fall was fall is for planting. Because fall, in the East Coast, it's the springtime is when they do everything. And they have a very short window of when they can plant stuff on the East Coast. Out here, yes, springtime is typically our busiest time of the year. But I tend to think that that's because so many people out here came from back east, so that's just what they're used to. But in California, fall is actually in Southern California, fall is an outstanding time to plant stuff in your yard. The temperatures start to cool off. They don't get as drought stressed from the heat. It's a great time to put native plants in and get them established. And typically with drought tolerant native plants, they are low water use, but that doesn't mean they are no water use. And people don't always make that connection. And I've seen it in landscapes in my neighborhood where people put in a drought tolerant landscape and then they don't water it at all.
Because it's native.
And you know what happens when they do that?
They die.
It looks like a native.
It looks like some of David's plants that he brings home.
It looks like the east side of the 15 at Miramar. So
another point to that, though, Ken, is something David has discussed a couple times, is that in nature, those native plants aren't a single plant in the middle of somebody's lava rock garden.
They practice the buddy system.
They hang out together.
And they shade each other.
Yeah, they offer some shade, they offer some coolness to the roots, et cetera, et cetera. And we typically put a single plant somewhere. And
so it has no protection from the sun on the foliage, which they provide for each other, and no shade to the ground. So the ground cooks around them. So it's totally different.
So they need a little bit more water, I think, when you plant them in that manner.
On my way to my parents' house, kind of getting off a little bit here, off topic, but somebody put in a brand new landscape, and they put in the dark leafed Lagerstromias.
Crepe
myrtles, right, and other dark foliage plants. And then they did a ground cover of black lava rock. So the black lava rock is going to heat up the soil during the day and cook whatever's in there. And there's no contrast between the foliage of the plants. You can barely see any of it.
Yeah. And that's a really pretty plant, that black. Black
against,
diamond,
against
stroma,
greens against, or some other.
Against something other than black lava rock, yeah.
It's to a, help it show up.
Yeah, it's a very pretty plant.
Well, that's a good segue. The black lava rock, is that a mulch or a compost?
It's a mulch.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, that's our Wednesday wisdom. So a lot of people confuse when you say, need to put down some mulch or some compost into your soil. Mulch can be anything that you put on top of a soil.
Pine needles, shredded paper, cardboard, black lava rock. Red hot magma.
Well, you were saying earlier, Ken, when you were about the smell, when the compost or the mulch that you smelled, the scent from the dump. There's a difference. What's that?
Landfill.
The dump. And so when we use compost to mix into our soil and to add organic material to the soil. But mulches can also do that if it's an organic mulch.
Yes.
But mulch
decomposes from the bottom of the layer down and slowly works its way into the soil, whereas compost, you mix into the soil so it will break down faster and more uniformly throughout the
soil column. Add structure to the soil.
Yeah.
Right. So when I talk to folks, I tell them, there's a lot of usefulness to putting mulch down. And then they'll say, can I put rock? And I said, you can, but when I say mulch, I typically am speaking of something that's organic. It's carbon based and it's going to decompose.
It's going to help. It's going to hold moisture. It's going to release moisture to the roots.
And it's not going to do what you just suggested with the lava rock. It's just going to hold the heat all night and reflect it back up into the plant where it's going to need a lot more water.
See, I would be of the position that if somebody's covering a larger area where it's mostly open area and you don't have a lot of stuff planted in it, if I was going to choose between rock or bark, I would probably go with rock just because I don't want to have to replace it at some point in time. You still get the benefit of it holding the moisture in, and it doesn't absorb the moisture, as much of the moisture as bark or some other type of mulch would.
But that's not in a planting. You know, your citrus tree is got rocks right up to the trunk.
I probably would not do.
Right.
But there's advantages. There's advantages and disadvantages to both. So it's just a matter of what you're trying to accomplish.
And if you're trying to cook the roots and the plants around them, black lava rock
or black
beach pebbles. I remember burning my knees checking the soil in a garden in North Poway in the summer as it had black beach pebbles around it. And it was just cooking everything.
That will do it.
Including my knees.
You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We'll be back with another hour of Garden Talk next Saturday. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.